Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Today, Thursday? I think it's Thursday edition. The Jair Alexander Dunzo. Well, maybe he could be back for the Super Bowl on his birthday edition. Rashawn Gary is a Pro Bowler, but Elgton Jenkins is not edition. Okay. And the what are you doing against the Bears? Mark Tauscher, you have been chosen. Matt LaFleur has had an appendectomy, since those seem to happen on emergency basis. Hey, we need a coach for Sunday. We're going to bring Tausch in as the head coach. Are you playing your guys? And if so, how much? Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, with old girl serving as the IT person, framing up our shots so we at least have some idea of what shirt he's wearing, as opposed to just getting his tiny little head in the bottom corner. It is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tauscher, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Is this a, how is this? The
you look great.
Video looks good.
Yeah, you look amazing.
Looks great. Best one looks yet.
Great. I'm just nervous about how it's going to sound, but we should be all dialed in. And Jason, to answer your question about what I would do, I'm playing everybody. Anybody that's not injured is playing Sunday. That's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, let's dive into that. We got plenty to get into, but let's dive into that first then, because I am curious.
And what else you got to get into? Because I'm curious what you want.
Well, we got to get into Jair Alexander and the Pro Bowl.
The college football playoffs have only been six teams. Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff that I'd like to get into.
Yeah, they should not have let the top-seeded undefeated team in the tournament based on how they performed.
Your poor little ducks got led to slaughter yesterday, didn't they? Yes, they did. That's for Eleanor. She loves that.
They did get blown out. For those that don't know about my fandom, which doesn't really exist, that didn't bother me as much as the fact that Ohio State did win. Like, whoever that Ohio State was playing, if they win that convincingly, I just don't like seeing Ohio State win.
But yeah, before we get into the Packers and playing guys, here's what I would say. You could still have that integrous regular season for college football, as I have been so adamantly proponent of, and still have a good playoff. You went overboard with 12. I think everybody now can see that, right? And, you know, no offense to the Boise
State. Arizona State, baby! Arizona State!
That was fun.
I want to see if you're going to really put the conference tournaments in play like they have, the conference championship. Those five get in. You get one at large, and that's it. Ohio State played its way out when they got throttled at home against Michigan. Period, end of story. They should not – their regular season wasn't good enough to be a real – if you want to have a real serious conversation. They didn't even qualify for the Big Ten championship game. So I think all of this – yes, they're a really good team. Really good teams – most really good teams don't win championships. So Oregon had a better regular season. They got screwed. Period, end of story, fin. They got screwed. So all of this other stuff, if you want to look at it and say, well, there you need more. I don't know. I think the numbers will be fine on all this. But most of us, I think, are going to end up with college football fatigue by the 20th of January. I believe that's going to happen. And you want to still stand alone and have that regular season be real meaningful. All right, fine. You fought me on two. You fought me on four. I'll give you six, and at most I'm giving you eight. That's at most.
Barry Alvarez and I wanted eight. Remember Barry Alvarez and I wanted eight.
I'm going to tell you this. It's only going to go up. It's not going to go down because the money's going to go up. You go to 16. That's what's going to happen. But what we've seen, when Michigan beat Ohio State, that should have been end fin wrap for them. They should have went and played in the CarQuest Bowl and had a nice time and been done. That's what should have happened. Instead, they get a great matchup. They go. I give them credit. They've bounced back. But that's not how this is supposed to work. And now, unfortunately, your Ducks are slaughtered. They're getting filleted, and we're going to have some crusty, really, you got to get crust on that breast when you make a good duck. And that's where they're going to be sitting. They're going to be sitting in people's sandwiches. That's where they're at.
Meanwhile, we'll be feasting on more Buckeyes as they have advanced. I don't know. Crust on the breast is, I was not expecting that today. So enough about college football. Let's talk about why Coach Tausch is
targeting playing. Rule. What a garbage call. I mean, what are we doing?
All right.
With that?
Hey, Ed Helms, we'll do why Tausch thinks they should guys. Next segment. Let's keep talking college ball.
Hey, no. As you were putting a bow on it, I think you can't talk about what we saw yesterday without saying that too, because we have been the targeting rule in college football is idiotic as it is. You should get I want player safety. You don't suspend guys for a week down the road. Okay, they're out for that game, and if you want, start hammering the programs with a fine. But this whole concept, now that players are getting paid, fine them. This whole concept of, well, we're not going to call it because it's at the end of the game and it can turn. That was target to the definition of it. Call it, and the game's over, and your precious little Longhorns are getting fried up with the duck breasts.
So yesterday, and look, I have nothing against Doug Gottlieb. I would like to see UW Green Bay basketball be good.
He's not going to be the guy.
Friends who care deeply about the program.
Yeah, he's not the guy.
But he tweeted again.
Take
Adam Schefter's advice and stop tweeting, because yesterday he tweeted the video of the targeting and said, is this targeting? Yes. Do you call it in this point in the game? Of course not. That tweet has since been deleted by Coach Gottlieb. In part because Terry McCauley, the former NFL official.
Bird.
And I think, is he ESPN's guy, Jesse? He's one of the rules analysts.
McCauley is
now,
NBC's
right?
guy, I believe.
NBC.
Yeah, he's on the Peacock broadcasts. Yeah.
Terry McCauley, quote.
That's why I haven't heard
of him. Terry McCauley quotes the tweet from Doug Gottlieb and said, this is now the worst take I've seen. So when you're getting called out by former NFL officials, I don't blame Doug for deleting that tweet. But that's what the targeting rule brings, right? Is that idea that this whole, it's a controversially applied rule. And the fact that it was not applied there is controversial because it should have been applied.
I actually think they do a really good job. of acknowledging it, reviewing it, and then sometimes overturning it.
I like so the review.
I think they actually do a really good job of all that, but targeting's targeting. And I want you want it out of the game. I'm all for player safety, even though I've now entered into the entertain me era of my life. That was targeting. And I don't know what Gottlieb got. Doug has got to just figure out, you know, is the 3-6 shift in his life the most important thing? Because it seems like it. You can't do it. We've already had our Doug Gottlieb discussion more than I've ever wanted to. So that's the bottom line on it. And
this didn't have to be a Gottlieb conversation. He was just saying the
I didn't bring it up. Okay. I didn't bring it up. Okay. In fairness, I didn't.
I think you did.
And Ed,
just wait. Sucks. I brought Doug Gottlieb up.
You brought the targeting.
How does that have to do with a middling coach at UWGB? Not even middling.
He tweeted about the targeting.
What does that have to do with
that's
targeting?
How it got there, and Terry McCauley called him out on it.
No. Jesse, I want you to apologize to me. I'm not going to start 2025 like we finished 24. I didn't bring up Doug Gottlieb. Check the tape. I had nothing to do. I talked duck breasts. I talked that was a bad call. And then I said, let's move on. And Beeson brought up Doug Gottlieb.
You know, we're going to make 2025 the year we actually check the tape. That's going to be my resolution.
Check the
tape.
No, we're
not. Check the tape in 25.
Let's see.
2025 on Wilde and Tausch, hashtag check the tape.
Yeah, let's see who brought up Doug Gottlieb. I think you're going to be solely upset when it finds out it's your buddy, Jason J. Wilde. Okay?
Scataboo.
I brought up.
Yeah, he's fun, isn't he? Mike Allstott's Jr. right there. Scataboo.
Scataboo.
I would love to see him in the G&G. How fun would he be as a G&Ger?
Sleeper every week.
Are you done?
Ed Helms on The Office. God, I can't believe how bad he was. So, if you check the tape, Tausch brought up targeting. I brought up Doug Gottlieb's tweets. And then someone on the panel, who will remain nameless, then began discussing the viability of doing a radio show and coaching a Division I basketball team.
I'm never bringing Doug Gottlieb up with this conversation. I'm telling you that right now.
You're right. There's no that's 1,000.
All right, hey, Jesse, keep track of check the tapes. Old T1, Wilde 0. We'll keep a running tally, and I got a hunch Jason's not going to be proven as correct as he likes to think he is.
We'll check the tape. Yeah. I look forward to the future tape checks.
I love this check the
tape. I like my chances.
Great idea.
But by the way,
I love this idea.
Let's stop and be realistic for a second.
Okay.
The amount of extra effort that this will require, unless Jesse is
able. No, he's got to do it in real time.
No, what he's got to do is he's got to give somebody else the job, right?
I think he finds a YouTube dweller and sees if they'll take this over.
More free labor. The Check the Tape Academy.
Yes. Yep. The analytics firm has already got their hands full. Jerry Odd and Klinkster.
Do you want a chance? Do you want a chance at the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame? Sign up to be our Check the Tape guy and improve your chances by scouring the YouTube videos to go back and figure out if
need a Wilde and Tausch sky judge. Real time, checking it, moving on.
But we have to get WOD in there. It's got to end up with the WOD, Wisconsin On Demander, because that's where you can get it accessed easiest. So the water, and you could do it weekly, or you could just give, if somebody's willing to commit to a month term, this we could do this like a, you know, a congressperson, or that's how I think we look at this.
They're going to be,
I'm all for term limits in everything. WOD City, something WOD. So in a fun way.
All right. I'm here to tell you, we are not putting the word WOD in this person's title.
It's the acronym for
you're
Wisconsin
being kind of a
demand.
JWOD, actually.
No.
All right.
Jesse, what do you think of WOD?
Not the best.
This is going to be a long year, huh? It's going to be a long year. I'm already 1-0, and I'm fighting all the powers that be, but I'm all for it. I can do it.
Now would be the time. hey, let's talk about why Tausch would play his starters against the Bears. No, let's do that next. After Tausch tells us.
I'm nervous.
Oh, boy. It's new a new year. Month and a new year.
New year. This is big time. Happy New Year means a lot of rough days ahead for those who suffer from SAD. We're going not WAD, but SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Plenty of gray and frigid days on the horizon where we all just want to be snuggly and warm in our house. And Pella is going to make that home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with zero interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And zero interest for up to 3 years. Hurry up. You only have until the 31st of January. So visit PellaWI.com today. Certain restrictions do apply.
All right,
pretty good start, I think. Pretty good start for the Pella read, I think.
I'm sorry. Let me rewind. Let's check the tape. Great job, Tausch. One of your better first times through a read from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Well done. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, looking for a little
He wasn't listening. He was reading Ryan's
He
text.
Was reading text, yes, exactly. There's no doubt about
right.
it. Busted.
He's right. Hey, don't put it up there if you don't want me to read it. Gottlieb. You guys thinking that I was referring to Gottlieb. Get out of here, Ryan. No way was I thinking of Gottlieb.
I would like to get to why Tausch would play his guys against the Bears on Sunday. And then I'd like to get to Jair Alexander, who is almost certainly donezo for the season after having his knee scoped. I tried to ask Matt LaFleur if, in retrospect, they were wondering why they didn't do the scope right away. That was not an answer that was particularly helpful that I got back from him. So we will get to all of that and more conversation about Doug Gottlieb's coaching style and work schedule next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Welcome back to Gottlieb and Tausch. Got to get to practice a little bit later, though. All right, can you please explain to me, because you know me, I am risk averse to the nth degree. Now, do I believe that there'd be some value in playing some of the game with my starters to kind of get a better taste in my mouth, because you heard Matt LaFleur say that they were sloppy against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
He was not happy mm-hmm. with the way they played. So mm-hmm. is there value in feeling better about yourselves and kind of getting right going into the playoffs? Absolutely. Am I willing to accept the risk of that? No doubt. If the Dallas Cowboys are down 31-3 at halftime in Big D, and it's pretty clear that the Commanders are not going to lose, am I taking Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed and as many of my core players off the field, Xavier McKinney, Pro Bowler Rashawn Gary, off the field in the second half? I am. That's what I'm doing. You tell me what you're doing, Coach Tausch, in a game that could potentially mean nothing in terms of seeding on Sunday against the Bears.
It could, but it also could mean not having to go to Philly. So
no doubt.
I understand all that, but I think one of the things in listening to LaFleur, and if you listen to coaches, it's not as much about what actually happens on Sunday. That's obviously going to be important, but there is something in guys' heads that if LaFleur comes out, and I know today's Thursday, but if he would have come out and told his guys, all right, we're going to play some other guys this week, we're going to get rested for the playoffs, there's an edge that is lost. And this mm-hmm. is not a bunch of 30-year-old dudes that are kind of, it's that last push. This is a young ascending group that is just getting started. They just had a bad game, a bad, especially three quarters of football against the Vikings. Everybody is down. Oh, well, you can't win a big game. And I just think that there is no need. It's not as if Jordan Love, we want Jordan Love to be healthy, no question. I'm not saying we're playing the whole game. What I'm saying is you go out there and you set a tone for what we're going to be trying to do in the playoffs. Get that taste out. Throttle the Bears in the first half, and then everybody's vibe is good and we're moving forward. But there's the biggest thing for me is sitting 2 weeks, that's always the conversation you have even after you get that one seed in the bye. This group needs to be peaking.
But they wouldn't be sitting 2 weeks, right? They wouldn't be sitting 2 weeks.
But I'm telling you, in essence, you are, Jason. You're sitting out. You're 13 days without playing a real game. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't want any complacency or anything to even creep in. This team is not good enough to withstand some rust and to withhold that. I just think you'd be making a mistake. Now, if it's Josh Jacobs and he's got an ankle, or if there's anything he doesn't feel great about, I'm okay. The only guy I feel like if you want to sit, Josh Jacobs. That would be the guy. Everybody else, Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed hasn't done hardly anything the last
month. What about Jordan Love?
I want Jordan Love playing. I don't think he feels great about how he played.
No, he doesn't.
I think he needs to be out there. He's missed games. I just the only guy is Josh Jacobs. Everybody else, and if you want to put Xavier McKinney in there as well, I just think there's something with this group that they need to go into this playing football and not having a ton of time off. So, Throttle City, go play your tails off for a half, and then it's deuces. That's what I would love to see on Sunday. I don't know exactly which way they're going to go, but I that playoff game is going to be here. It could be a Saturday game. We don't know. And Philly's going to rest their guys. If there's a chance Washington loses, I want to make sure you're pouncing. And I'm not saying play four quarters, but I don't think giving them the week to just completely – this is not the time of the year to decompress. This is the time of the year to readdress and to almost refill and say, all right, here we go, and get on that streak like we saw last year, like we saw in 2010, where you're playing really good football, even if you're playing against the Bears, and you try to ride that in where your confidence is back where it needs to be so you can go and shock the world and go beat a Philadelphia on the road, which nobody is going to think is going to be doable.
All right, let's hear what Matt LaFleur had to say, because I think you and I actually agree more than you thought when you said, I'm not saying four quarters. Here's how Matt LaFleur addressed it yesterday.
We're playing to win. I mean, we always play to win the game, so I don't see our approach changing.
Can I take the devil's advocate question of that, though?
Sure, absolutely. You can take whatever question you want, Bill.
You can move it up to six, but chances are you're probably going to be seven unless Mike McCarthy does you a favor. Is there any thought towards doing any
hopefully
upside?
Mike does us a favor.
Is there any upside to giving much of your key players a rest so their errors can be
broken? Well, here's the deal. Like, I just read off the injury report, and unfortunately, you got a 55-man roster. I mean, 53-man roster plus two call-ups. So, I mean, guys got to play. So that's the approach that we take here.
So when you go through this process, how do you kind of weigh?
This is a good question here.
How do you personally do? Because there is value to building momentum and playing well, and there is obviously.
Here's what I'll tell you: the right answer is whatever works, and I think you got to have a philosophy on what works best for you. We took this. We were in a similar situation a few years back, where we played the guys a half, and lost in the second half, and then they had the bye. We had the bye, and then we lost in the playoffs. So, like, the right answer is whatever works is really what I'll tell you. And I know you're subject to criticism, and if it goes great, then that was the right way to do it. And if it doesn't go the way you want it to, then you know you learn from every experience. But I do believe there's a lot of value in terms of especially how we played. I would say a week ago, where I didn't think it was. The cleanest game in any phase, I think there's value to going out there and playing.
I agree with him. What I didn't agree with is whatever works, that's the right decision. Well,
it is, Jason. That is how it goes.
I get it, because coaches, whatever they choose, if it doesn't work, then the armchair quarterbacks will say, well, you should have done this instead. Now, I'll be honest, we were doing the show in 21. They did not lose to the San Francisco 49ers because their starters didn't play in the second half of the regular season finale.
Agreed.
That is not why they lost.
They lost.
So anybody who
fumble.
Was crushing them for that.
Lewis's fumble was, I think, the big reason.
Because they had
game.
A punt blocked.
Right.
There's a lot of things that happened.
Yeah. There were a lot of things. It wasn't because he pulled his starters at halftime of the finale that year.
Agreed.
And they had the bye. And so he's right. He's going to get criticized by some. My point is, and this is why I think you and I are on the same page, I think the approach he took in 21 was the right one.
Mm-hmm.
To limit the risk, but still accept some of it, so you're not going, nobody plays in the finale, then you have the bye, and then you play a playoff game. I agreed with him then, and I didn't kill him for that. They played like garbage, not because of what he did on the last day of the regular season. This is different. There is no bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There is, we should know. Again, barring comebacks, and Dan Quinn was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons when they had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl and they found a way to lose. I get it. But Mike McCarthy's team, they're pulling guys out of their homes to play for them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They've shut down CeeDee Lamb. They've shut down a bunch of guys. I don't see them, even if they want to play to save Mike's job, them finding a way to win. So most likely, we're going to know around halftime whether or not the Packers still have a chance at the sixth seed. So once we have some idea, if you want to take Jordan Love out and put in Malik Willis, but I agree with him. The way they played in Minnesota, when you look at it, they did not play well enough. They were sloppy. He was right about that. They need to play some good quality football for a confidence, for a feel good about how we're playing part of the equation. So I think you play him at least till halftime, but then you have to start thinking about, hey, Malik Willis has played pretty well for us. Let's get Jordan out of there. Let's not put him at risk.
Yeah,
is that not a fair mentality?
I don't think Green Bay would be favored with Malik Willis at starting quarterback.
I would agree.
So this isn't – we're going to beat the Bears regardless. I would be shocked if we don't beat the Bears. Now, if
you
we
both.
Decide to completely cash in and just not play anybody, then maybe. But – I think to your point on what happened in 21, none of us even talked about that. It was about Green Bay got off to a good start. That's, I think, when you criticize, it always comes back to how did you start that game? And there's been teams that have rested their guys that have come back rusty and sloppy, and then you say, well, it was too much time. Rust versus rest. And then there's been times where those teams will come out all gangbusters and just go. Green Bay had that opportunity in that game. I think they scored on their first possession, and then I believe Mercedes Lewis coughed it up when they were rolling again, and then everything went to blank. So anybody that's worth a salt isn't going to criticize what LaFleur did in that stretch. And I think that's the formula he should use in this, because even with a bye, without the one this time, there's something about football players. Byes come and they go, and it's regular season. Listen to what Belichick and Dan Campbell, and I can't remember the other coach that was brought up, and I sent you guys that clip,
mm-hmm.
about how they approached, how football players approached it. That's the kind of guys you want on your team. And if guys are like, oh, great, like Saquon doesn't want to sit. He's going to sit, but he wants to go out and try to get it. Those are the guys you want. Because the only way to stay sharp playing football is by playing football and having the mental anguish of studying and the pressure of going out there and performing. You can't get that. And, oh, we'll practice hard and then we won't play. Well, just not the same. So this should be a no-brainer. And by the way, this is a bunch of young guys. This isn't a seasoned team. Outside of Jacobs and McKinney, I don't know who else you'd even put. Kenny Clark. If you want to rest Kenny Clark, I'm fine. Everybody else, Edgerrin Cooper, get his tail out there. He needs to get more consistent with what he's doing. He's playing great, but more reps. That's how you become better. And I think that's where Matt LaFleur is looking at saying, we didn't, what we did against Minnesota ain't going to beat any playoff team. We better get our blank together. And we have an opportunity to approach this like a pseudo preseason game, but with a lot more on the line. And I think that's the approach you're going
to
see.
Right. And to his point about the injury list, you're not, there's no reason to play Christian Watson.
Nope.
There's no reason to play Quay Walker. There's no reason to play Evan Williams.
Is Quay Walker going to play when he is healthy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So who goes down?
It's probably less Eric Wilson on the field and less Isaiah McDuffie. But again, to your point, Edger and Cooper, you heard what Matt LaFleur said on Tuesday, that it was a, quote, mixed bag from Edger and Cooper. So, again, it's what we have talked about time and again on this show.
Are mixed bags always bad, though? Because if you get that popcorn down in Chicago, mixed bag is awesome.
Or like a party favor, like a kid's birthday, now, where you get a bag, it'd be good stuff.
Like, I love the Gardettos and the – like, Sarah doesn't like the pretzel sticks in those mixed bags.
I'm sorry, when did Gardettos become an advertiser? What, do they make ice cream, too?
It's a form of a
chip. Oh, snap.
Okay, my bad. Hey, my bad. What are those little loaves called? I thought they're called Gardettos. Are they not?
You're talking about the rye chips that are in the Gardettos.
That is not a Gardetto?
No.
No, Gardettos is the mixture.
Okay, my bad.
The rye chips.
Those little rye chips that I like, some people don't.
I love them. Yeah.
So what's wrong with
you can buy
a mixed
just
bag?
A bag of those, by the way.
I don't feel
to.
Well, then they're not as good.
Like, I agree.
Yeah, need to be in moderation.
Mixed
bags should not be used in bad terminology, in my opinion, because it gives variance to everybody's opportunities. So, no, I don't think it should be used in that form.
No one refers to Gardettos as a mixed bag.
But it is.
They call Chex Mix. But the bottom line,
Gardettos are a mixed bag. There's all kinds of options in there. It's true. It
a
is
mixed
trail mix, another mixed bag. I think most people like it. Oh, I don't like the raisins. Well, then pick around them. Edger and Cooper, I love his great TFLs. Well, then pick around his missed mistakes and when he doesn't line up properly.
But
right?
You can't. That you just proved the
football,
point, and you don't even know it.
A mixed bag.
Play the tape. He had some plays that were the raisins.
You can't just role play the tape. It has to be disputed. I'm not disputing that. All I'm saying is mixed bags outside of football, pretty good.
The place where he misaligned or had the wrong assignment are the raisins. That's what makes it the mixed bag. It's not just the M&Ms and the peanuts
like
and the
raisins.
Other things you like about your trail mix.
Bottom line, football mixed bag bad. Mixed bag out in the consumer world, I think pretty good.
Homer was very generous to reschedule his time with us to 9:30 this morning, and here we are at 9:37 arguing about Chex Mix and mixed bags.
Let's go.
Steinhoffels is partnering with Special Spaces Wisconsin. I've been telling you about it all season. I spent some time yesterday with Brandon McManus. An interesting conversation with him about his process.
At
and how...
Steinhoffels? Were you guys looking for couches?
No, we were not. He's making lots of field goals, and every time he...
I just thought, what a great partnership that you and McManus are going out shopping for couches together. And there's a great cause behind it. What a good deal for everybody involved. There's no mixed bag with that.
Brandon McManus, since his arrival, he is 29 for 29 on extra points and 17 of 18 on field goal attempts. That means he himself, $17,000 he has helped Steinhoffels raise with $1,000 for every made field goal this season, going to Special Spaces Wisconsin, creating dream bedrooms for children battling cancer across Wisconsin. Every time the Packers make a field goal, even if it was Braden Narveson earlier this year, who I think made 12, so they're up to $29,000 donated to Special Spaces Wisconsin. Keep them coming.
throughout the playoffs as well. Keep them coming. Steinhoffel's has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader since 1934, is 100% employee-owned, and is a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Steve the Homer True had a tweet this morning that made me laugh out loud. LOL. I will tell you what it was when he joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
Whatever you do, make sure you do it right. Whatever you do, make sure you do it right.
I don't like everything Homer, especially about unscrupulous beat writers. But this was funny. Rashawn Gary is in the Pro Bowl. Is there another Rashawn Gary in the league?
Rashawn Slater.
Joining us now, the voice of Marquette men's basketball. You hear him every weekday on the Homer Hour. And, of course, on God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip on YouTube. It is Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm still surprised. I don't understand how I made the Pro Bowl, though Gabe Neitzel explained it probably well, that he's listed as a defensive end, and defensive ends are different depending on the setup that you have. So.
Yeah, they should just do edge rushers or something, I would think, so that way linebackers
are... It's about like making the All-Pros as a fullback because there were no fullbacks, so it's not that bad, but it's in that same category.
Someday maybe they'll do left tackles and right tackles, so great right tackles like Tausch and Brian Bulaga make it. So, Homer, when you look at this team, we were just having the discussion about whether to play or to sit your most important players or take a half measure of having them play a half. When you look at the way that they played against the Vikings, Matt LaFleur basically saying, look, we were sloppy. Our guys need to play. How do you view it?
Yeah, that makes sense. This is a hard one because I think you have to defer to football people, but they can't agree. So if the people can't agree, the coaches, teams, whatever, then it's clear that it's, to some degree, made up. And the more teams do poorly that take the bye, that reinforces the belief that maybe you should play, even if you don't need to. I mean, everybody should play. So that's the stat that's brought up. So based on, like, I tend to listen to whatever Belichick says. Like, you play everybody unless somebody's hurt, and then it's a question of how much you play them. But everybody preps as if it's fundamentally a normal game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so, Homer, you can't expect people to prep if you know there's no test coming. You just know that, right?
Fine. I'll defer to you.
I think if you're going to play them, you got to play them. And again, I think a half is more than enough.
Well, then how long do you play them? Do you take them out? Okay, yeah. A half. That's fine.
Yep. This should be, again, and Jason brought this up earlier, which I thought was a great
there's
point.
There's a lot of debate among people that you would respect as to what to do. Nobody has really figured, there's no analytic, you know, that clearly affects coaches going for two or whatever. There doesn't appear to be any analytics on resting or not resting, right? So
hey, when Tausch says that I brought up a great point, could you not interrupt him? That doesn't happen very often.
Sorry, that's my strength. I feel like
I'm aware.
Or I can do better. That's why I interrupt.
Yeah, Jason's point on the coaches do worry about, you know, criticism and what's right and wrong, even though they shouldn't. And I think looking back, Matt LaFleur, how he approached that 2021 with the line, I think it was up in Detroit, right, where they played a half and then ended up getting beat. Mm-hmm. But they played, and it wasn't – we didn't lose to the San Francisco 49ers because Aaron Rodgers and Devontae and everybody didn't play a full game. That was – I thought he played that really well. It's because they stunk and they didn't play well in the second half of that game, period, end of story. There is no – the big thing if you want your guys as fully fresh and rested, but there still has to be an edge. And the only way you keep an edge is by playing. And sitting for that long, I think most teams have looked at it and thought, if we do that for a full, especially with a younger team, you're just not going to be as gung-ho and ready to roll as you need to. And you can't do what Green Bay did against Minnesota. You can't have a first half where you're sloppy. It gets your blank beat. I don't care how good you play in the second half. Rarely do you are you able to overcome that against good teams. And there's only good teams that play in the playoffs. So that's why this should be a no-brainer. And I bet when it comes to it, that's what Matt LaFleur is going to decide to do.
Sounds good. I think sometimes the whole discussion of it is overrated. But
there's a lot of things that are overrated. Gardettos.
Anything else on the list that comes to mind?
Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors. Homer, do you think the Packers were overrated this season? Like, do you think we thought they were better than they actually were? I know you and old boy here went back and forth on Green Bay game night the other night about this, and Tausch saying that they're the third best team in the division, which he was not saying for much of the year, and now he has to say based on the standings. Do you think they were overrated by us throughout the season?
No, they're somewhere in there. It's still to be determined. We're just getting ready. We're just getting done with the exhibition season.
Yep.
It'll all be determined. And you need a break to do well in the postseason. Detroit being hurt might end up being a break. But, again, I objected to it when Tausch said, I don't care if they're the fourth best team in the division. If they're still among the elite teams in the NFC, you just pick the year when your division was the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing negative, even though it sounds negative, and Tausch knows it, but he still says it, to say they're the third best team in the division. So what? They could be the third best division in the division and be four. What's the best record you can have? To bring that up first is disingenuous. He knows it, and you'd have to ask Tausch why he'd like to say it.
Because it's true. I've also said that they can go and win a playoff game, and once you win that first one, everything's Katie bar the door. Like, let's go. Right now, everybody views Green Bay as a good team that can't beat really good teams. That's how we're viewed. And by the way...
Yeah, but they don't... Not one of them brings up the fact that they believe that because they're third in the division. That's like being the third richest man in the world. And, but you're poor. No, don't even bring it up.
Well, you're poor in those circles. Yeah, that is how it works.
The Packers are a very good... team, right? Or a good, team.
Hey, Tom Brady hanging out with Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, he's pretty poor. Tom Brady in the real world,
that's my point. He's not. You made my point against your point. Do you have any other analogy that supports my side of the opinion? Because I'd love to hear it. Tom Brady is rich regardless. And to compare people to try to act like he's poor is wrong, just like to compare the Packers as third in the division as meaning they're not good is wrong. You can stop.
That's
now
not what I said. It's, okay, Tom Brady. I'm not going to get into
it. Poor. It presents them as poorer than they are
because there's regular season poor, Homer. There's regular season poor, and then there's postseason. And this story has not been written.
Yes, I will agree.
It's not really. So they are the third best team in the NFC North. That has been proven in the regular season, but that is not how you're judged. That is the regular season is the stepping ground to the legacy of playing in postseason football, period. Green Bay is in a position where it's going to be a lot more difficult road, but a lot of times that makes it more rewarding. Whether or not they can do it, it's going to be tough sled, no doubt. And if they get beat by Philly in the first round, are we going to look at this season as some raging success? It's not like some bitter disappointment either, but it would not be – I think we expected more because this team is better than last year's team. Most people, anyone that watches would say that. But they wouldn't have gotten as far, and their road is going to be – even though last year at this time, a seventh seed, nobody thought they could go into Dallas. Dallas hadn't lost the game. So all of this stuff is great. It's fodder. It's discussion points. But until you go play a postseason game – once they win a postseason game, Homer, nobody's going to talk about that they're third best team in the division. Nobody.
No, you'll still bring it up. All right, yes. What's next? We agree.
All right, so Jesse clipped this from Green Bay GameNet. I thought when I talked to LaFleur, I had, you know, some pretty good points. That obviously got a lot of traction on social media. Jason doesn't think so, even
thanks.
Though. Do you not agree with my assessment of Matt?
No, LaFleur? I just don't love it when you say, I thought I made some pretty good points.
You just were raving. Okay, I'm not going to get it. I did.
Good
so,
points.
Gary Ellerson, who also brought up some very interesting topics, Jesse cut
did he make
this
good
clip.
Points?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
I don't necessarily. Yep. So, Jesse, can you run that from Green Bay game?
Sure
night?
Can.
Let's hear it, and then I want to hear what Homer was thinking in response.
It feels like Jordan Love is playing not to lose. I mean, his passes are all – it just feels like he's tight. It just feels like he is not free-flowing. Just feels like he's playing not to make mistakes. You got
there are no wows anymore.
You know.
Yeah.
You got to let him –
Well,
let
no,
him,
that's – A wow can be a number of different ways.
Somehow they got to figure this out. You got to let – Matt LaFleur, you got to let Jordan Love be Jordan Love. You got to take the good with the bad.
Because you have Kraft who's even
– You can't overcoach him. I see a lot of these coaches overcoach players.
So how do we know – How do you know – All right, on the offense. How do you know when you're supposed to pass but then you got to run more or –
Well, I don't know, and that's why he's making all the money. That's why he did coach of the Green Bay Packers.
It seems like the Vikings have that figured out.
They got it figured out.
Yeah.
So, and this is part of, I think, the problem with this offense right now. Jordan Love is no longer Jordan Love anymore. You got to let Jordan Love throw in the double coverage every once in a while. Just got to. Yeah. That's who he is.
What do you think, Jason? I have not gotten your reaction to that. I think Jordan Love needed to change because he was turning the ball over too much. And he has not done that. And he still's made some wild throws. Obviously, against Minnesota, I can't think of any wild throws. But when you're talking about having to go through this gauntlet in the postseason, he's going to need not maybe a Rodgers-Falcons 2011 game, but he's going to need to be better than what you know, 68 yards through 2.5 quarters of football up in the Metrodome or the U.S. Bank, whatever they call it. How do you balance that, Jason? Because Homer's in full agreement with Gary. I disagree. I don't think he needs to start whipping it more into double coverage.
Wait a minute. But when was I in full agreement with Gary?
You're shaking your head with him and saying, yep.
Well, no. But his presentation, what I thought was important in my input was how many times I appropriately interrupted at exactly the right time to address certain things. I have never done an interview that I heard back that I said, that's why I interrupt, and nobody has interrupted better than I did on multiple.
Okay, you're the great interrupter.
I never gave my opinion. I never gave my opinion on what he was saying.
All right, well, let's get Jason's. Okay, Homer, let's get Jason's opinion, and then we'll get yours. Even though you were on the show with Gary for 2 hours, and I would think at some point maybe would have pushed back or said something, but you do you. Jason, what do you think?
Well, I thought he made some good points.
Oh, God.
I'm honored to be part of this segment.
Gary and I, more often than not, agree. If you ever listen to Green Bay Game Night after Tausch is off, I usually am on with Gary and Homer. That wasn't the case this past Sunday night as I joined Homer for the final portion. We went over. We had a great conversation. I made some really good points during that conversation.
Oh, God.
But in this instance,
oh, boy.
I have to disagree with Gary because, look, he hasn't had to make the wow throws in the two games leading into the Vikings game, right?
He did not.
No. He did not. He did not have to do that in Seattle. But still, 20 of 27, that's almost 75% completion rate, right? He threw for 229 yards. He had two touchdowns. The dude hasn't thrown an interception since the one he threw in Chicago.
Knock on wood.
On the 27th, on the 17th of November. So against Minnesota, he was off. I don't think it was because he wasn't taking enough risks. I think the way he's played has been very good. He had five straight games, and I understand passer rating is not the end-all, be-all statistic, but what it indicates is that you're completing a lot of passes, you're not turning the ball over, you're throwing touchdowns. So if you've got a high completion percentage, you're throwing touchdowns, you're not throwing interceptions, you have a high passer rating, that's a good thing. It's not the end-all, be-all. But you're telling me that he didn't have some wild throws in Detroit? Get out of here.
No, he did. No, he did.
He definitely did. And so, yes, I agree with the premise that for them to go on a playoff run, he is going to have some wild throws. And if there was one concern I would have about their offense right now, it is if a defense comes in and says, there is no way in God's green earth we are going to allow Josh Jacobs to beat us, we're going to make you beat us with your passing game. If there's somebody that says that, Jordan Love is going to have to make those wild throws again. But I don't think the last several games are a good indicator. He did not play well against the Vikings.
He did
right?
not.
They played a lot of man coverage. They did a really good job of putting the umbrella over them, being able to go downfield. Him chucking it downfield to Bo Melton into double coverage, and then it wasn't even close enough to be caught or intercepted. It was, I think it landed out of bounds. That's not helping anyone. So, yes, he's going to have to make some wild throws. I think he has proven he's capable of that. I don't think that he has stopped being Jordan Love. I think he has stopped making too risky of throws. But there are going to be some risks that need to be taken. So if that's Gary's point, that tiny piece of it I'm on board with.
Homer,
but you can't change the way you're playing.
Before I let you jump in. So, Jason, is Jordan Love playing good enough football to lead his team on that Rodgers run, on that in that position to take them on a three-game run? Is he playing good enough? Because I would argue after he threw all those picks and everybody was on him, he has really matured. And I've liked what I've seen. He understands what the game needs. We're playing a Seattle team that is not very good. We don't need to be risky with the football. Chicago, we don't need to be risky with the football. Detroit, you have to maybe take more chances because they're going to go on fourth down, and you have to understand what your team needs. The Texans game was the worst when it comes to that this year. Too many dumb risks that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jordan Love in that position, do you think, where he can make that run when it's going to be called upon to do it?
Yes, but he didn't play like that against the Vikings on Sunday.
Okay.
He did not play well. He didn't play well.
Homer, what do you think?
He didn't play well because the offensive line sucked. Back to what Gary said, I had no problem with the interceptions given the number of touchdown passes he was throwing at the time. And so the issue is not only, yes, you can throw an interception if you have a lot of touchdown passes. He is not. So I got to go because I got my faith. Have a great show. Bye.
Wait, he just walked off?
Well, he's taping My Faith with Homer and Pip.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Brian Commitment. And I pray that it goes well for him. But we did not. He needed to be out by 10.
That's on us then.
Yeah.
It's on Jason patting himself on the back so much about his great points.
It's 10:01. The first I heard that he needed to be out by 10 was at 10 o'clock. Not pointing the finger at anyone.
Well, why'd you get to him so late?
Because we talked about Doug Gottlieb.
Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered.
What are you doing?
So it's made to chill. I'm trying to get us back on the clock, Jason.
Right, but you could do that read in the next segment because we still have another segment left, and that wasn't the time.
The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans. Make sure they're blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Tausch will tell us about Coors Light again next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers playoff push.
The Green Bay Packers are still struggling to have an identity.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
Internally, I think Matt LaFleur is still trying to chase who he is going to be and what type of way he wants to coach.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
I'm being told that the maker of good points from his undisclosed location has a question for the all-new carbless...
Oh, let's go.
Talk and text line.
Love carbless. Great.
What's your question there? Are you carbless, by the way? Do you,
I need to be.
You eat some carbs.
I need to be. Let's be honest. What is that supposed to mean?
Less is more.
We like carbs. That's why we need carbless.
It's a good point by everybody involved. So I don't want to just randomly willy-nilly throw polls out there. So I don't know if I want to go with the Jordan Love angle.
How's that different than usual?
Or if I want to, I mean, where do you think Packer fans are at with this Bear game on Sunday? You think we want to see our starters?
Don't care. Figure this is a meaningless game. Probably not going to get the 7 seed. The Bears still suck. They would be happy to chant. Which Packers fans, again, I'm not here to tell you how to behave. I am curious why they chant that during games that don't involve the Bears. Like they were chanting it during the Saints game. After they got done doing the wave.
That's because the Saints game was really boring.
They were bored.
that's a boring game. We always give Bears fans a bunch of grief for talking about the Packers in these games. In fairness, the Bears are kind of irrelevant to the scope of where we're at as a Packer fan base when it comes to the goals we're trying to accomplish. It is now firmly Detroit, Minnesota. Yeah, it's just where we're at. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think about the Bears, and I don't think most Packer fans do. I think it's just a fun thing for us to chant and to cheer in games that are super boring.
All right, so I'm sorry. You had a question, and then you asked me a question instead.
Well, because I don't know. I mean, with this new partnership, I want to make sure we're feeling good and having carbless feeling good. I don't know if enough people care how much Packer players are going to play, starters are going to play on Sunday.
So your question would be, what's the most important thing that the Packers can accomplish on Sunday against the Bears?
Winning the
game,
mm-hmm.
playing like they have in previous games, unlike the way they played against the Vikings, which was, quote, sloppy, per Matt LaFleur, or getting out of the game healthy, especially with Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love.
Won't healthy be a runaway winner?
You would think so, but I'm not asking it in poll question form. I would ask it in text form so people can utilize the carbless talk and text.
There
line.
You go. That's why you're the
so
GOAT.
So power rank those in terms of your goals for the Bears game. I would argue playing like you expect them to play and healthy are 1-2, and then somewhere farther down the power rankings is winning the actual game. Do they want to finish 12-5? Sure. Do they want to beat the Bears? Sure.
Yeah.
But it's not as important as staying healthy and playing the kind of football that you want the Packers playing going into Philadelphia, which is where they're almost certainly going.
Agreed.
All right. That's the question for the brand spanking new carbless talk and text line, which is still the same number. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. What is most important to you? Power rank what you want to see happen on Sunday at noon. Packers play like they're capable of, and they fine-tune their operation going into the playoffs. Packers stay healthy, especially Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs, or the Packers win the game. Or maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, you can respond on the talk and text line, the carbless talk and text line, 844-770-3776. I want to get to a further discussion of Jair Alexander since we didn't spend a whole lot of time on that, and he is donezo for the season, unless maybe he plays in the Super Bowl. We'll get to that to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. We'll do that in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.